This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In August, an appeals court publicly reprimanded North Carolina federal prosecutors for hiding or mishandling evidence. The court unleashed an unprecedented rebuke, noting several cases where deadlines were missed and evidence was withheld from defendants. The tongue-lashing prompted the head prosecutor of the Eastern District, Thomas Walker, to make some changes. Joe Neff is an investigative reporter for the News and Observer and has been covering recent developments at North Carolina's Eastern District and joins us on today's program. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Frank.
Tell us about this. What is the 4th District Federal Appeals Court, right? When did they start noticing irregularities in the Eastern District here in North Carolina?
Well, I think it was telegraphed in May during oral arguments and this decision that was handed down in August. It's called the Bartko, U.S. versus Bartko. And at the oral arguments, as soon as the U.S. Attorney who is defending the case stood up to talk, one of the judges, Henry Floyd, immediately interrupted and said, "This is the second case this week that we've had evidence or discovery violations." And later on, another judge piped up and said, "Well, this is, you know, the last two terms I've been running across this problem, and it's very troubling how the U.S. attorney in Raleigh, in the eastern part of North Carolina, is handling evidence."
And when did they go public then? That was in the courtroom. When did this become public knowledge?
Well, it was public knowledge immediately because they put their arguments online so you can hear them, and the word got around in the defense bar community. But it really came out in August when they published the decision in that case, in the Bartko case.
So tell us about the Bartko case and what was at stake here. What was the problem in that case?
Well, it's a pretty complicated financial fraud case with lots of evidence. And basically, one of the key witnesses, a man named Hollenbeck, was met with a U.S. attorney in 2011. And the U.S. attorney made what's called a proffer agreement, which is basically an agreement of how the evidence will be handled that will come out of this interview or this investigation. And they made an agreement. And at trial, when Mr. Hollenbeck took the stand, the U.S. attorney, the assistant U.S. attorney, should have handed over a copy of that proffer agreement to the defense attorney. Actually, he should have done it well before trial, but it was never handed over. And as Mr. Hollenbeck testified, and he said at one point, he was asked, "Has the U.S. attorney made you any promises?" And he said no, which was not true. And the U.S. attorney in the courtroom should have stood up and said, "Your Honor, we actually have made a promise." But it went unremarked and wasn't handed over, and so that's the violation that the court honed in on.
And this particular case began under George Holding's watch. George Holding, now Republican U.S. Congressman from North Carolina, but at the time, the prosecutor, right, for the Eastern District.
Correct. This started under Holding's watch.
All right. So these are a couple of cases. And you said that this happened over two. One of the judges noted that this kind of thing was happening over two terms, the last two terms. What are some of the other cases?
Well, the remarkable thing about this Bartko decision is that in the middle of the decision, the court says, "Okay, stop. We're going to take a detour here and make notice that this is not the only case where we've had discovery problems." And they went on to list two other criminal cases and a civil commitment case where similar problems were happening. And they said that their worry is that this office is playing fast and loose with evidence, and that they were so concerned that they ordered the clerk of court to send this decision up to Attorney General Eric Holder in Washington, and the office that disciplines U.S. attorneys, the Office of Professional Responsibility. And they had a several-page digression about how important it is for prosecutors to play by the rules and not to play keep away with the evidence and not to conduct trials by ambush. It's rather an extraordinary decision. I've never seen anything like it, and of the prosecutors in defense attorneys I've talked to, no one has could remember a similar decision like this.
And, of course, we're talking about federal courts because in our mind and because it comes to our attention in all the wrongful conviction cases, and those cases are growing by the minute, the failure in this discovery process, the failure to turn over exculpatory evidence, the failure to talk about deals that were made with jailhouse snitches and all of that, that figures large in all these wrongful conviction cases, which happen in state courts.
Absolutely. All of those items that you mentioned are factors in wrongful convictions. And we wrote a lot about discovery, we being the News and Observer, in 2002 and 2003, about evidence being hidden, about deals with jailhouse snitches being hidden. And in response, the North Carolina General Assembly in 2004 passed an open file discovery law. If the prosecutor has something in his or her file, he must hand it over to the defendant. And there's a couple small exceptions to protect identities of informants, et cetera. But and that has really that law prevents the wrongful convictions that we've been writing about over the years.
And I'm just wondering if things are different, if there's less of that or had been less of that kind of thing in federal courts, I guess perhaps because those rules were already in place.
No, the rules in place in federal court are, according to how the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in these cases, known as the Brady cases, the prosecutors are obliged to turn over evidence of innocence or evidence that would lead to evidence of innocence or what's known as impeachment evidence, evidence that you can use in cross-examination to undercut the credibility of the witness, to show that they had a deal or that they were a jailhouse snitch. And the prosecutor makes the decision under Brady. Is this evidence that I should hand over? Is it favorable to the defendant? And in state court, they don't make that decision. The assumption is you hand everything over.
Everything you've got, we turn over, and that way there's no subjective judgment. That's true in North Carolina, not as a result of the new legislation here. So tell us about the response then. In this particular case, the Bartko case happened under George Holdings' watch. What has been the response from Thomas Walker, who is the current U.S. prosecutor?
Well, Thomas Walker did two things. He removed the head of the criminal division, a man named Bobby Higdon, and the head of the narcotics division, Frank Bradshaw, is also transferring out. Now, Mr. Walker had nothing but praise for these two men, but he has put in other people into those jobs of high responsibility. And secondly, he has published a new policy on handling evidence and on sharing evidence with defendants with the process known as discovery. And he's posted that new policy on their website. And the defense lawyers that I've spoken with about this new policy say it's great because it spells out what the policy is, identifies certain loopholes that were used in the past, and plugs those loopholes, so that in the future a prosecutor is not able to say, oh, I didn't know or I didn't think this should be handed over. It spells it out in pretty good detail. The one thing that is different is just a policy. And the U.S. attorney, whether it's Thomas Walker or whoever in the future, is the one to enforce. So it's almost like a self-regulation. In state court, if a prosecutor doesn't hand over the evidence, a judge can toss out the case, a judge can suppress the evidence, or the prosecutor can get actually disciplined by the state bar or by the judge, as in the Duke LaCrosse case where Mike Nifong lost his license to practice law because he didn't hand over evidence.
Well, if this was the rule and if the court expected this kind of behavior on the part of the prosecution, couldn't the Bar Association act in the same way in the cases that have already been handled?
No, because it's they can't reach into an office and enforce policy. They can enforce the law, and they can enforce the rules of professional conduct that the state bar has promulgated. But they can't have no authority to make a policy, an internal office policy, binding on a lawyer in court.
And why is that an internal policy on a district-by-district basis? You would think if this is the federal prosecutor's office that this would be a system-wide, that nationally from the Office of the Attorney General in Washington, these rules would be in force in every region in the country, no?
Well, I'm not quite sure on the answer to that, but my guess is that the Department of Justice is applying what the Supreme Court has promulgated in the Brady case. And what Thomas Walker has done in this case for this district is to go beyond the minimum and to create a policy that is much closer to the law, the North Carolina state law.
Joe, thanks very much for talking with us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Joe Neff, an investigative reporter for the News and Observer in Raleigh. Coming up next, the 12th anniversary of 9/11 on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.